What do we do? Now watch the answer that the man of God gives Elisha. He says, don't be afraid. Well, that's cute. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot. You know how people give you advice that makes you want to slap them? Well, I hadn't thought of that. And it's just, this is the time for well-meaning Christians to shut up a little bit. You know, oh, well, you lost your job. God will provide. That's fine in certain contexts, but sometimes, and I want you to see how Elisha does this, sometimes it's more important what we don't do than what we do do. That didn't come out exactly right, but you know what I was trying to say. Sometimes what I won't do in a season where I'm uncertain is even more important than what I do, because let's follow the text, and I really want to take our time. We don't have another service coming in, so we could just do this right. Put it back up. He said, what shall we do? And then the prophet said, don't. And so go back to 15. What shall we do? And the prophet said, don't. And the man said, what shall we do? And the prophet said, don't. So I'm going to ask you a question. What won't you do? In a time where so many are desperate and we're all kind of fearful and we all feel scared. If you're not scared right now, I'm scared of you. If you're not scared right now, you are some kind of evil cyborg robot come to destroy the planet. And I want you quarantined, okay? Because to have flesh means to feel fear. So while he's wondering, what does this new world that I woke up to mean? And what do we do? The prophet starts by saying, don't. Don't. So maybe for you it goes like this right now. I won't lash out at the people closest to me because of the fear that I feel about what's going on outside of me. Maybe it's like that. What won't you do? What a question, right? What do we do? Well, the first thing you've got to do is decide what you won't do. So I won't just make, you know, irrational stories up in my mind. I won't spend 3 hours reading conspiracy theories on Twitter and then ask the Lord, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. You gave your soul away that day. So what I won't do is spend time in the hypothetical. What I won't do, what won't you do? I would have been annoyed with the prophet. I'm just being honest, you know. Like, what do we do? What's the plan, man? What do you want me to do? Do we fight them? There's so many of them. It's just me and you. And by this time, Elisha's kind of old. You know you can't fight. So it's just me versus all of them. What do we do? What's the plan? What's the strat? What do we do? What's the deal? What do we do? What to do? All right. Don't be afraid. That's not working for me right now. How do I do that? How do I don't be afraid? I'm not afraid. 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 Still scared. She said, I'm still scared. I know you're with me. I'm still scared. There's still something in my bedroom. I'm still 9. I'm still weak. I still got bills. I'm still got to show up at the grocery store and work. I still got a relative who's 84 years old who's starting to cough, and I wonder, will I get to see her again? I'm still scared. So why does he say don't be afraid? Okay. I want to teach a little bit. It's almost impossible to be strategic when you're scared. And so the first thing we have to do as people of faith, and I use that term not to mean as optimists or people who believe in fairy tales or people who float on clouds of cotton candy through the burning seas of sulfur and suffering in this world because we know Jesus. I don't mean that kind of faith. I don't mean formulaic faith. I don't mean the answer kind of faith. I mean the better question kind of faith. What do we do? Okay. Well, what do we don't? We don't give way to despair, right? What good would that do? We don't, I know another thing we don't do. We don't minimize the sufferings of others. We don't do that. And how about this? Y'all talk to me out there. We don't compare what somebody else is going through with what we're going through. And we don't start running around just saying dumb stuff. You know what we don't do? We don't get on YouTube and comment how this is God's judgment. We don't speak about things that we don't know. That's above our pay grade. It's the judgment of God. What? And somebody's mother died, and you want to be some kind of closet theologian, some kind of armchair, rookie, amateur theologian? Keep your day job. God is God. So I'm not going to try to be God. That's his job. You remember Holly's story that she preached one time? She told about these boys that were fighting. This is a good quarantine story, all right? For all of y'all that's got real kids that don't have, you know, halos and harps and all that. And they fight sometimes, even though you pray for them, they fight sometimes. They were fighting, two brothers. And if I mess it up, you can fix it for me. And the mom said, what are y'all fighting about? And one of them had a sandwich and wouldn't cut it in half and share it. And she said, y'all need to share. Be like Jesus. Jesus would share. And the boy that had the sandwich looked at it, and he took a bite out of it and said, you be Jesus. You can share. I'm going to take a bite. But when my wife preached that message, her message was, let God be God. Let God be God. You be Jesus. You be humble. You be trusting. Jesus had a nevertheless attitude toward his relationship with his father. He was like, I don't want to go to the cross. I don't want to drink this cup. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. So you be Jesus. But what I won't do in this situation is just as important as what I will do. So the Holy Spirit is on that statement right now. Reflect on it. What won't you do? What are we going to do? What won't you do? I won't live in fear. I may feel fear. I won't live in it. I may experience sensations of fear. I felt my breath getting short the other day before I stood up to preach. Somebody asked me, how long were you preaching before you stopped feeling scared? I said, I'm still scared. Every time I preach, I was shaking before I came out here today. Now, I know how to control my shake so you don't see it, but my hands still shake when they're in my pockets. I mean, this is important to me. Somebody is discouraged, depressed. Somebody's on the edge, and I get to preach the word. Like, that's important to me. I don't want to be the weak link of what God wants to give to you. I don't want to come out here and miss the mark of what God wants to say. I'm still scared, but it doesn't have to stop me. So what I'm saying is, not that I won't feel fear, not that I won't have questions, not that I won't sometimes in my mind when I'm praying prayers that really don't even sound like prayers. I'm praying prayers like, oh crap. I'm praying prayers like, please God. I'm praying prayers. I'm not walking around the house all the time with my hands lifted, but I won't stop worshiping. I won't stop praising. Put it in the chat. I won't stop. I won't stop. I won't stop. That's what I won't do. I won't stop. I won't back down. I will not give in. I will not surrender. I will not give away my joy. I will not give away my peace. My peace was purchased with the blood of Christ. It's too expensive. You can't have it. It's too valuable. It's the only treasure I've got. It's the only thing that moths can't eat up and the thieves can't steal. I might be scared, but I'm still gonna stand on the word of the Lord. I won't bow to your statue, Nebuchadnezzar. I won't bow. Put me in a fire if you have to. Put me, tie up my hands and throw me in a furnace. This is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, the God that we serve is able to deliver us. And we know that he will. But even if, somebody say, even if he doesn't, I will not bow. And the only thing the fire is going to do is burn off what you tied me up with. God said, I'm setting you free in this season. I'm going to use the fire to set you free. I'm going to set you free from addiction. I'm going to set you free from bad priorities. I'm going to set you free from distractions. So that's what the man said. He said, don't be afraid. You can feel fear. It can ride in the car, but it can't drive. I can't wait to hear testimonies on this message, because you have been letting that joker drive. You have been letting that crook, that robber, that thief, that devil have your life and your peace and your joy. And so he said, here's what we're not going to do. He said, don't be afraid. Now, who says it is just as important as what is said. How many will agree? So if my 14-year-old says to me, don't worry, Dad, God's got this. And I'm like, eh. When my mom says it, it has more weight because of who said it. So Elisha's ministry, you have to remember, was a prophetic ministry. It was a prophetic ministry. It's not about telling the future. It's about seeing. It's about seeing. It's about seeing the invisible. Would you agree with me that one of the lessons God is trying to get us to learn right now, I'm sure there are many lessons that we'll understand because of what we're going through as a society, but would you agree with me that one of the lessons he's trying to get us to learn is that sometimes what we can't see is more important than what we can see? I mean, just even thinking about it, like how I stood on the stage last week and preached, and what was happening on the other side of what I could see was significant. And at the same time, the entire economy is rocking and reeling because of an invisible virus. And so the Bible started to get real to me when I thought about, you know, scriptures that used to sound good, but now they make more sense. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness, principalities, rulers. What he's trying to say is that, like, what we're fighting that we can see has to first be approached at the level that we can't see. And God is trying to show us some things today, because watch this. Not only does he tell him, don't be afraid, and this is not coming from a man who has never had to face fear before. This is coming from a prophet who had to walk into a widow's house. If you want to do a Bible study this week, you know, if you just get tired of what's that show that everybody on my staff is watching with the tigers? Tiger King. If you get tired of Tiger King, I'm going to be looking for a Netflix sponsorship check out of this. But if you get tired of watching that, read 2 Kings 4. Elisha, go. This is the same guy that said, don't be afraid, to the servant when they were surrounded by the armies of Aram who came to lock him up because of what he could see. He had to walk into a woman's house who said, I'm about to go into debt. My husband is dead. I have nothing to pay it with. And I have nothing in my house at all except a little oil. Now, this prophet, Elisha, had the ability to see in a little bit what the woman could not see because she was looking through a different lens. A lot of us have thought of faith as being this way that we manipulate God. But now we find ourselves in a season where we can't control almost anything. We can't control what's open and what's closed. We can't control at some level what happens in foreign markets that affects us at home, what happens in foreign places. So in this season of what we can't control, we have to redefine faith, right? Because I thought faith was like a lever. Picture this. And like when we pull the lever, you know, have faith, give them a praise. Give them a praise. You know, when praises go up, blessings come down. It's like transactional, right? It's like jackpot Jesus. It's like, yes, Lord, you know? Like, I'm going to pray my kid's going to make straight A's. I'm going to pray and I'm going to stop. My headache's going to go away. I'm going to pray. But see, faith is not a lever. Faith is a lens. A way of seeing your situation. And sometimes faith changes the situation. Sometimes faith changes the way you see the situation. Sometimes God changes it. Sometimes he changes me. But either way, even when I don't see it, even when I don't feel it, come on, you're supposed to say the line. Y'all are the worship team after all. Especially when I don't see it, even when I don't feel it, especially when I don't feel it and when I don't know it. What do? Don't be afraid. So what the prophet told the woman in 2 Kings 4 is what he's practicing in 2 Kings 6. Some of us are getting to put into practice for ourselves what we preach to others. We preach about peace. We preach about God's power. Now we get to prove that what God showed us in the light is true in the darkness. That what God showed us on the mountain is true in the valley. That what God showed us the night before is still true the next morning.
Hey, thank you for watching. Make sure you subscribe to this channel so you don't miss a single video or live stream. And share this video with a friend. And don't forget, you can join me live every Sunday. Thanks again for watching.